Let's give God a hand praise today. Good morning. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers.
Happy Father's Day to you.
Thank you, honey. As you know, we're starting a new series this Sunday. It's going to go for a couple of Sundays until the 30th of June, at which time we will start a series on prayer. Right now, for the next couple of Sundays, we are on a series on faith. Amen? Today, I want to talk to you about the faith of a father. The faith of a father. In 1966, Lyndon B. Johnson, through an executive order, designated the third Sunday in June as the official day to celebrate as Father's Day. However, it was not until 1972, during the Nixon administration, that Father's Day was officially recognized as a national holiday. Today, we honor all of our fathers, grandfathers, uncles, all of the men who fill such important roles in our lives, in our families, and in our church. Fathers, we appreciate you today. We salute you. And we want you to know that you are important to us. Now, when I talked to some of the men about the fact that we were going to do a Father's Day message today, there was a couple of them that said, "Are you going to beat us up today?" I'm not going to beat anybody up. I am going to honor you, and I'm going to appreciate you as fathers. We're going to talk about the fact that we are fathers with faith. We have faith as fathers. I thought about a particular family that had three small children. These children were determined to have a puppy added to their family. Now, the mom in the family protested because she knew that somehow or another, she would end up caring for the little critter. True to form, the children solemnly promised that they would take care of the dog. Eventually, she relented and they brought their little puppy home. The children named him Danny and cared for him as promised at first. But sure enough, as time passed, Mom found herself becoming more and more responsible for taking care of the dog. Finally, the mother decided that the children were not living up to their promise, so she began to search for another home for Danny. When she found Danny at home, she broke the news to her children. "I found another home for Danny." She was quite surprised that they had almost no reaction at all. One of them even said, rather matter-of-factly, "We will miss him." Mom's answer, "I'm sure you will." Mom said, "But he is too much work for one person. Since I'm the one that has to do all the work, I have to feed him, clean up behind him, so I say he has to go." One of the children protested and said, "What if he didn't eat so much? Or what if he wasn't so messy? Could we keep him?" But Mom held her ground. She said, "It's time to take Danny to his new house." Suddenly, the kids looked at her with shock on their faces and said, "Danny, we thought you said Daddy."
Oh,
It has been said that almost any man can father a child, but only special ones can be a dad. And I want to say this morning that dads are special people. Now, my dad wasn't in the home when I was growing up. I was his oldest of five children, born between two marriages. To be honest, I really don't know what happened between my mom and dad. I was too young to remember. And the conversation never came up, even after I became a man. To this day, I really don't know what happened. However, I do remember my dad showing up from time to time, dropping off food and gifts. I was always happy to see my dad when he showed up. He would show up with bags of groceries or with toys, or he would give us money. I even remember him taking me places with him from time to time, and how good it felt when he would introduce me to his friends. He would say, "This is my oldest boy." I felt so proud. I know that my dad did the best that he could to be a good dad to me, and I loved him dearly. I remember years after he had passed. I was a dad myself by this time, and it was Father's Day. And my kids had bought me a CD of a song. Some of you might have heard it. The title of the song was "Dance with My Father Again." I began to listen to that song, and I began to cry. Not just tears. It was one of those cries when you make noises and your lip trembles. Y'all know what I'm talking about. I began to cry. I couldn't even finish listening to the song. I just cried. I don't know why, and to this day, I'm still not sure why. I'm normally a pretty manly person. My emotions are not usually that close to the surface. Now, I have to say, I was talking to Pastor Mike the other day, and he was talking about his daughter and son-in-law coming home and surprising his wife, and he began to share with me and some of the other men how he cried. And I said to him, I'm going to mention men crying in my message tomorrow. Is it okay if I express the fact that you also cry? And he said, "Yeah, you can let them know I cry." But usually I don't cry a lot, but listening to that song, I began to cry. I might cry. I actually cried in a movie called Brian's Song. The movie about the Chicago Bears running back, Brian Piccolo. Who wouldn't cry at that movie? As a matter of fact, if you don't cry off of Brian's Song, I'm not even sure if you're a true Christian. But I'm not usually a crybaby. Anyway, whatever was going on with my emotions, I began to cry. And then I thought about the influence that our fathers exert over us in our lives, and the fact that many people desire the approval of their fathers. Even years after our dads have passed away, their influence is still on us. Even the children of men who wasn't necessarily good fathers, it is mysterious how most men still remember and either take good advice or good memories and make them better fathers, or bad memories and make them better fathers. Now, as I stated, I cried, Mike cried. Most men don't like to admit that they cry or that they become emotional. Men and women are different. Women cry all the time. But men are different. women, I notice, have no problem complimenting other women. You hear women all the time, oh, your hair is so beautiful today. Your dress is so beautiful. But men, I'm not going to go to Norman and say, Norman, your hair, well, maybe Norman is a bad example. But we're different. As a matter of fact, men have a whole different dialogue. Now, I might get in trouble here with the other men, but I'm going to translate a few of the men's dialogue so for future reference, you ladies would understand us better. When a man says, it would take too long to explain, he means I have no idea how it works. When a man says, take a break, honey, you're working too hard, he means I can't hear the game over that vacuum cleaner. When a man says, that's interesting, dear, he means, are you still talking? When a guy says it's a guy thing, he means that there is no rational thought or pattern connected to what I am saying. When a man says, honey, can I help you with dinner? He means, why isn't dinner ready yet? Don't worry, man, I'm not going to give them all away. When a man says, sure, honey, or yes, dear, he means absolutely nothing. It's a conditioned response. When a man says, I can't find it, he means it didn't fall right into his hands. When a man says, I hear you, he means I haven't the foggiest clue of what you just said. And I'm hoping desperately that I can fake it long enough before you ask me to repeat to you what you just said. When a man says, I'm not lost, I know exactly where I am, he means I'm just going to keep driving no matter how many times I pass the same house. Oh, when a man says that's not what I meant, he means it's something that I've said is interpreted. It can be interpreted two ways. If one of those ways make you angry, I meant the other way. I asked the question today, where can we get a good example of what a father should be? And then I thought about God. What do we call God? What is the Trinity made up of? It is made up of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So let's see how God handles parenting, because he is our Heavenly Father. First, let's establish what God's intent is for men. God's intent is for us to be the Father that he wants us to be. It is for us to be men and fathers of faith. There is no question that God loves us and very much as his children. And he gets his greatest pleasure out of dads that pattern their lives after faith and after him. Psalms 145 and 8 says, the Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and rich in love. God loves dads when we show patience and when we show love in every situation. Now, dads, we are not like God in that we are not perfect. We make mistakes. We make wrong decisions. But the sign of a good dad is one that can go and say, son, daughter, wife, I made a bad decision. Let's get together and see how we can fix it. Furthermore, let's get on our knees together as a family and let's pray to God how we can fix it. I read an article about a guy who was shopping in a grocery store while pushing his toddler in the cart. The toddler was an uncooperative 3-year-old boy. The 3-year-old boy was asking his dad for a candy bar. There was a bystander who witnessed the whole encounter. He heard the little boy ask dad for a candy bar, and the dad said no. And then the boy began to protest and get loud, and the bystander heard him say, "Now, Billy, this won't take long." As they passed in the next aisle, the 3-year-old pleas had increased several octaves. But the dad quietly saying, "Billy, just calm down. We will be done in a minute." When he passed the dairy section, the kid now is screaming unconditionally loud for the candy bar. But the dad was so patient. He still kept saying in his cool, calm voice, "Billy, settle down. It's going to be all right. We're almost out of here." The dad and his son reached the checkout counter just ahead of the bystander who was listening. And by now, Johnny is kicking, or the boy is kicking, and he's screaming, and he's yelling. And the dad is still very calm. He says, "It's over. Billy, we're going to get in the car in a minute, and everything will be okay." The bystander was so impressed on how the dad was so calm and how he talked to his little boy. So the bystander caught up with him in the parking lot, and he said to him, "I am so impressed on how you have handled little Billy, how you were so calm with little Billy and how you talked to him." And the dad said, "Wait a minute, you don't understand. I'm Billy." There's a lot of challenges to being a dad or a mom. But church, nothing is as hard for a parent as watching its little child get sick or hurt. Every parent knows the feeling of wishing they can trade places with their sick child. Venetia and I experienced that firsthand in 1984. We had only been married for less than 2 years when our faith was tested more than ever before. Our young daughter, Ashley, who was just 8 months old at the time, became very sick. She couldn't eat, and that baby couldn't eat and was losing weight and kept a high fever. We took her to the doctor, and she was diagnosed with spinal meningitis at the age of 8 months old. She was on IVs, and she stayed in the hospital. And my wife and I practically lived in the hospital for a few days while she was in the hospital. And to add injury onto it, one night we finally decided that we would go home. The baby was asleep, and we decided we'd go home and clean up and change and come back. Now, let me back up. She was so sick till they couldn't find a vein in order to give her an IV. So they had to give her the IV through her head. We left to go shower and get cleaned up, and somewhere in the middle of the night, the IV slipped out of the main vein in her head. And all of that fluid went into her brain cavity. And when we returned, her head had swollen double the size. And it was an emergency situation. Why am I telling you this? I am telling you this because there's going to be times, dads, where we have to be people of faith. Now, people always say that We forget about God when things are going great. Haven't you heard people say that when everything is going good, we don't feel like we need to pray? When everything is wonderful, we don't feel like we need God. But I stop by to tell you that when things are going bad, sometimes we forget the resources that we have. Sometimes when all hell is breaking loose, we forget that we have a God that has a victory over all hell. So my wife and I, we were believers. We were Christians. We went to the church and people began to pray for our little baby. Now, we were newlyweds practically. We didn't have a manual on how to raise a child. We didn't have the internet. We couldn't Google what to do. So we depended on God. And that's what we have to do. Even in this time of technology, you can Google anything. You can find out how to build a rocket. You can find out how to parent your children. But I stopped by to tell you the internet or Google is not biblically based. If you want to know how to be a dad of faith, I want you to know to open up your pages of your Bible and you will find how to be a dad. True faith is deaf to doubt, dumb to discouragement, and built in impossibilities. There are only two ways to live. The most common is to live by sight, to base everything on what you see. The other is to live by faith and base your life primarily on what you cannot see. That is faith. We back our earthly lives on external destiny, on things which we have never seen, because we know that the Father of everyone, the Father of the world, has everything under control. I want you to know fear knocks on the door. Faith answers the door and nobody's there. Waiting for me is one of the most difficult disciplines of life. Yet true faith is able to wait for the fulfillment of God's promises in God's time. Dads, a lot of times we pray. We pray for certain things in our families. We pray for healing in our families. We pray for our children to be delivered. We pray for this. We pray for everything. And I want you to know that your faith, God will answer your prayers. But I want you to know today that the answer is not always what you want it to be. I want you to know, dads, that when you pray for your family, that lost son, that lost daughter, that wife that can't cook, when you pray, give it over to God and believe that God will fix it. Today's sermon is asking the question, how do I become the father that my father wants me to be? Not my earthly father, but my heavenly father. How can I become the father that my heavenly father wants me to be? It is by faith. How do I use the muscles and talents and resources that God has given me? That's the question, church, that Jesus had to deal with when he addressed his disciples. They wanted to be important men, visible men, but they misunderstood what that meant. They felt that being man of God being meant they were visible, they were important. They were people of power. But if only they could express special talents or gifts, it will show their standing with God. But Jesus taught them it isn't who you are or how powerful you are. It's how much faith you have in your Father. In fact, church, God deliberately chooses people with less power. He deliberately chooses ordinary people like you and I. Dads and fathers, uncles, he chose you to be a dad. He chose, I don't care if you thought it was an accident. God chose you to be a dad. He chose you to be a grandfather. God did that. Not because you were perfect, not because you were not going to make mistakes. All throughout the Bible, God uses imperfect people. Let me give you some examples. I put together a list. Moses stuttered. David's armor didn't fit. Hosanna's wife was a prostitute. Jacob was a liar. David had an affair. Solomon was too rich. Abraham was too old. David was too young. Timothy had ulcers. Peter was afraid to die. Lazarus was dead. John was self-righteous. Jesus was too poor. Naomi was a widow. John Mark was rejected by Paul. Paul was a murderer. So was Moses. Jonah ran from God and became fish food. Gideon and Thomas both doubted. Jeremiah was depressed and suicidal. Elijah was burnt out. Martha was a worrywart. Samson had long hair and ended up in the wrong barbershop. Noah got drunk. I'm trying to tell you, you don't have to be perfect. Just be a man of faith. 1 Corinthians 1, 27 through 29 says, but God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lonely things in this world and the depressed things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one must boast before himself. As for God is concerned, being his servant is more important than being a superstar. Did you hear that? Being his servant is more important than being a superstar. As long as you are a man of faith, long as you are a father of faith, it does not require for you to have supernatural powers. But a lot of times, in closing, we as dads, we lose our faith. When fathers lose their faith in God, they either tremble in fear, or they face the future, or they run from danger, going away from their places of responsibility and duty. When faith in God is gone, man, the thinker loses his greatest thoughts. When faith in God is gone, man, the worker loses his greatest motivation. When faith in God is gone, man, the sinner loses his strongest help and his possibility for salvation. When faith is gone, man, the sufferer loses his refuge. When faith is gone, man, the lover loses his vision of what he loves. When faith is gone, man no longer can please his Father in heaven. Man, we need to walk by faith in our relationship with God. Faith is like the Wi-Fi. It's invisible, but it has the power to connect you to who you need to be connected to. God is always proven to be faithful, meeting our deepest needs when we trust him and obey him. When we walk by faith, we have victory. Many people don't have faith in faith. They don't have faith in faith. Proverbs 3 and 5 through 6 says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not to your own understanding. Lean not to your own understanding. Finally, I want to tell you a story. There was a man who was outside of the delivery room. His wife in labor inside of the room. This man is walking back and forth in the hallway in agony. He's wringing his hands and sweat pouring down his face and heart racing while his wife is inside in labor. All night he suffered in agony, not knowing what was going to happen. He's pacing the halls and just so tied up in knots. Finally, a nurse steps out of the room and said, "Sir, it's a girl." And he shouted with joy, "It's a girl. Now she'll never have to go through what I just went through." Happy Father's Day. Let me pray for the men. As a matter of fact, every man in the house, if you would just stand for one moment. Every man in the house. As a matter of fact, everybody stand. Dear Father, we thank you today for dads. We thank you for fathers. We thank you for role models. We thank you for men of faith. As we stand as a church united together, we thank you for our heavenly Father, our Father which art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. We worship you. We praise you and we adore you. We thank you for this church, for these men, for these wives that support these men and these families. We pray for our church as a whole as we go forward from this place. Lord, help us to be the church that's a beacon light in this community, the church that shows love, families full of love, families full of faith. We pray in Jesus' name. Bless us and keep us. Everybody say amen.